Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. This is Lisa Anderson. Let me give you a little preview of what is coming up. Our friend Joshua Rogers is back to answer our inbox from someone who describes himself as a relationship virgin. And I have definitely talked to y'all out here who fit this camp, the people who are like, I can't even remember the last time I was on a date, or I have never been on a date, or I don't even remember what it's like to be in a relationship. So he's going to offer some wisdom there. And then for our culture segment, we have the fabulous Glenn Stanton, researcher here, to talk about why your risk for divorce is probably a lot lower than you think. In fact, he is going to argue that for some people, it is almost zero. Do you believe him? Wait and see. You got to hear that segment. For our roundtable, though, speaking of similar topics, we're going to talk about cohabitation. So, and not in like a really weirdo, wonky way. We're just talking to normal people here. We have Jake, Brandon, and Ashley. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello.
What is the weirdo, wonky way?
Well, you know, where people just pull out like graphs and charts and go into like U.S. Census Bureau stuff. I know.
I'm going to hide the
Brandon's
going
to bring that to the table. Brandon has his pivot tables and whatever else available to him. So,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. But we thought of this because, I mean, not that we haven't talked about this subject before, but because there is a Barna study out that talks about cohabitation with the U.S. populace, specifically the millennial generation. Speaking of the U.S. specifically, two-thirds of adults in America are okay with cohabitation. Obviously, the number is smaller when you talk to Christians, self-identified Christians, but the rate of cohabitation among Christians is rising as well. And most Christian young adults can't even really define or describe why they think cohabitation is wrong, if in fact they do. Many of them, in fact, the majority, say that they disagree with it because of, quote, religious reasons, which what what in the world? My religion precludes me from doing that. And then people will be like, will you tell me where in the Bible it says? And then they're just stuck. So, but for those who believe that cohabitation is a good thing, not surprisingly, the number one reason 84% of people think that it's to test compatibility. So got to test drive that car, people. Don't
it's a data-driven approach, right? Yeah. I need to see the data. I need to run some tests as we share toothbrush jars.
Yes. Now, for those opposed to it, I mentioned religious reasons, but following close on that reason's heels is just generally a disagreement with the, with having sex before getting married. So kind of those two lumped together make for over 60% actually of respondents. So I want to dive right in with y'all. Because Jake, you're married.
See, yes, I am.
Brandon and Ashley both engaged.
Correct.
So having to, and in fact, I do want to, first of all, congrats.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
So,
yeah.
Three lottery
winners. It was not long ago that we were asking Brandon, even in light of this own show. So when is this happening? Because we have timelines that we have to talk about here. So when
we did mention it.
So yay. Congratulations
to
you.
Exciting.
Very exciting. And so, obviously, this is a, like, top of mind living it. In fact, I want to tell everyone that tomorrow on the blog, Ashley is featured with a post talking about this. So, really, with your reasons why you and your fiancé have chosen not to live together before marriage. So really, really great piece. But okay, so let's jump in here. What, first of all, now, recent past, you know, long ago past, whatever, what generally ear to the ground have you all heard? Both from non-Christian friends, from Christian friends, like where would you describe in your peer group this conversation is happening right now? What does it look like?
I mean, from the standpoint of those that don't cite biblical reasons, I mean, it's exactly that. It's testing compatibility. It's this sense of risk aversion. Like, I need to see, I want to see all the cards on the table before I, you know, commit to this long term. Mm-hmm. And then from the biblical moral side, it's kind of like, well, the Bible says no fornication, so there.
So they kind of put it in that camp. Okay.
Yeah.
For the people that I know that are not Christians, I feel like it's just sort of another step, like dating, you date before you get engaged, but you also to them, you live together before you get married. Just like not really something they even think about.
Okay.
Like for instance, my fiance, his coworkers, most of them are all dating and they all live together. Mm-hmm. So like at the work Christmas party this last year, they're all like, oh, you guys don't live together? What? That's so weird, because they all do.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, and to be engaged and not living together,
right,
they're probably like,
exactly,
what in the world?
Yeah. So it's just like a totally different mindset that they don't even think about it. It's not, I don't know, not something that they have to decide.
Yeah. It does seem that it's one of those kind of next step kind of things that people assume, oh, it's just the progression of our relationship. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, some people are like, oh, it's our big next step. And some people are like, no, it's just assumed. That's just where we go with it. So, yeah.
Well, I think it can, I don't know, some of the friends I have too, are they don't even really believe in marriage anymore. You know, it's like, well, what's the, I don't need to get married. I can just live with them and get the benefits of that without everything else. You know, why introduce the complexity of a marriage when you can just, you know, we're doing fine. So we'll just live together.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, it's almost like, I think of this as I read, you know, one of my sources of news, People Magazine, and you look at like celebrity relationships and you're like, oh my word, are they still engaged? Like people who have been engaged for like 8-9 years, like celebrity couples, and you're like, at this point, I've stopped waiting to hear any kind of announcement of a wedding, or else they'll maybe jet off to some island and get married and no one ever knows about it because you just assumed like, oh, well, okay, they acted like they were married anyway. So it is really weird. And I think we're kind of translating that kind of mindset into normal people, quote unquote, and the world at large is doing it. But what about, okay, what about Christians specifically, like within the church, your friends, do any of you talk about this? Is it just assumed among your peer groups, you know, in Christian circles that, oh no, we would never do that? Or do some people wrestle with it, would you say?
I thought it was assumed until, I don't know, maybe 5-6-ish years ago when I started seeing, you know, family members or friends that started doing it, started moving in together, and it was people that, you know, you assumed agreed with you on this topic, and all of a sudden it was like, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. We know where this is going, so it's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of convenience, almost.
Right. And like, you know, this rejection of, what's the difference between doing it now versus after we have a piece of paper signed?
Uh-huh.
Like, we're heading towards that piece of paper being signed anyways, so that's just a formality.
Yeah, okay. You know, it's interesting because I, when I've traveled, especially overseas, in fact, I've been in Asia a couple times in the last couple of years, and they cite just the cost of living as one of their reasons. You know, I mean, you're trying to get an apartment in Hong Kong or Singapore or something, and they're like, oh no, well, we have to do it. It'd be ridiculous. We couldn't each do this on our own, or we couldn't, you know, or the government doesn't even allow us to get our own place unless, so I think there's a lot, they get squishier in their lines there.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm
well,
talking to you, Asian friends.
Well, no, but I think that's a good point, because there are a lot of these practical things, like as we've gotten the state more involved in the marriage proceedings, like from a Christian perspective, you know, for example, I've got a brother who's about to be engaged, you know, he's bought a ring and, you know, they've talked about marriage, but his girlfriend is from Switzerland and he's not from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have all these practical considerations of, hey, we want to meet family and we want to do this and that. And the other thing, we want to do this whole, the wedding right and do this legally. But now they're talking about immigration and which visas do they need to get? And if they do it this with this visa, they could get charged for fraud by getting married. And so, I mean, there are a lot of these practical situations, you know, even that people have to consider and say, okay, what is the line now between a marriage in the eyes of God and a marriage in the eyes of the state?
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily new, but I think it has new implications on us now as they've gotten more and more entwined in our understanding.
Okay. Hmm. So, Jake, as someone who has been married for how long now?
We are coming up on 9 years.
Wow. All right. Okay. So someone who has some marriage under their belt, what would you say? Because I hear a lot of people that say, you know, well, I need to know what I'm getting into. I've got to, you know, I've got to have all my facts straight. I need to know that this person isn't crazy, you know, whatever. I've always made the argument that you're never really going to know everything you need to know about a person before you get married. So what would you, from experience, speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, there's so many things that just come out in a different kind of pressure cooker, and marriage is different. Like when we look at these numbers and we look at numbers like actually Glenn Stanton, our very own Glenn Stanton, and all his research is and even Greg and Aaron Smalley, when they talk about how long it takes in a marriage for people to go from being individuals to being a couple, mm-hmm. you're talking about a decade. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of time where you're figuring each other out, where you're finding out these new things. I mean, I think I've talked on a previous episode about my own wife and her love languages. The fact that they've changed since we got married. Her primary love language today is different than it was in our first 2 years of marriage. Hmm. And so it's like there's all these things that you're never going to know mm-hmm. for sure. Okay. And so you've always got to, I think, approach your marriage or any kind of relationship as it's just you're figuring it out. I like how they say it in the movie Fireproof. It's cheesy, but you got to become, get your bachelor's degree, and then you got to get your next degree, because I can't remember what it's called, and then your doctorate.
Like, your master's.
Yeah, you're always trying to get to know your spouse better. And so if you're waiting until you know your significant other really, really well before you get married, mm-hmm. you're never going to get married.
Yeah, okay. So Brandon and Ashley, so, mm-hmm. Through dating and now engagement, mm-hmm. what did this conversation, did you have to have this conversation, or did you just kind of slide into it, or what, where did this come about for y'all?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I mentioned, people asked us, are you guys living together? I mean, right from when I first started dating him, people started, like my dentist, which I kind of talked about that a little bit more in the blog, but yeah, asked me right away, like, are you guys living together? And it just really surprised me because it was just the assumption. So we definitely talked about it more.
What a weird question. I don't know. Why that would be your first thing.
Who says that? Yeah.
Dentist single and just.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna break this thing off.
How big is the rock? I don't know. Yeah. Is this going to go anywhere?
I don't know. And it's always so awkward. You're like trying not to drool everywhere and there's stuff in your mouth. Yeah. Anyways, so we kind of talked about it in more of like a, just like a joking manner. Like, I can't believe everyone thinks that we're, like, why is everyone assuming this? That's not a, like a Christian or the people that didn't know us, mm-hmm. So we talked about it in that way a little bit, but I think it was already just kind of assumed that we would never do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think more of an assumption, but we did talk about it, trying mm-hmm. to set those boundaries and mm-hmm. say that we want to honor the Lord. And we've both been in past relationships where we didn't kind of follow some of those things. And it was very important to both of us that while it's hard and it's not easy, I would always tell her, that we're never going to regret not doing this. We'll regret if we compromise on something, mm-hmm. That's when it's going to come up. So I made it a point to make sure we were on the same page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting how, Jake referenced our friend Glenn Stanton, how he's brought out research before that shows that even if you take faith out of it completely, sociologically, there are no indicators that show that living together is of any benefit. And in fact, it's quite a detriment. They say that cohabiting couples have higher risks of domestic abuse within the home, higher risk of divorce. If you actually eventually do make it to the altar, having lived together, your chances of divorce are a lot higher. Just the inequitability, is that a word?
Yep.
the way that even labor within the home is inequitable. I mean, sorry guys, but guys who have a ring on it are just more committed and more willing to pitch in than, cohabiting dudes. So they just feel kind of free and free as a bird, I guess. So Brandon, you have that to look forward to.
Oh, yes.
So get the awesome. The work gloves on,
right,
and the
becomes great responsibility.
There you go.
Exactly. So so that would definitely be one thing as well. And then the one that I always like to highlight when I'm out speaking is the idea that once you are cohabiting, it is much more difficult to get out of a bad relationship because mm-hmm. by the time you've entwined yourself into all these things, maybe you're sharing rent or you're sharing a mortgage. Some people start sharing pets. I mean, and then eventually, people even share children. And then it's like, well, he's really a loser, but we have this dog. And so I don't really know what to do, and I'm like, oh, my word. And so people, their lives are stalling out as a result of that. So it does. I mean, I think it makes a big difference. But I have been surprised, too, because I have, whether among my own friends or as I've talked to others who I'll just say generally like a couple pastors I knew and really respected and their kids chose to live with their boyfriends or girlfriends before marriage. And I know it just devastated the pastor because they're just like, why in the world would anyone do it? I mean, their generation is so, mm-hmm. in fact, I think it's the Busters, the Greatest Generation. I think they're only like 30% or less that would even consider living together an okay thing, you know, of that older grandparents' generation. So there's definitely been a shift in that. What do you guys see as far as the responsibility of the church or a community of believers to do this? Because, I mean, do you ever sit in your small group and just be like, who's living together with anyone because we need to call you out? I mean, it's kind of awkward, but biblical, I mean, probably.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's not that you'll never convince people that are already in that situation to back away from it. There's a case to be made that you can still reach them there. But I think the problem is reaching them before that. Because I think, like Ashley was saying, it's just this preconceived notion. It's okay. We see it, you know, we talk about how often we see it in pop culture, and it becomes this self-reflecting cycle where the culture reflects it to us and we reflect it back to the culture. So it becomes this normal thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the new engagement ring is the key to your house, like to say we should live together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen that in several of shows that I really like where they're building to, is he ever going to ask me to move in with him? Mm-hmm. And so there's this preconceived notion that I think we've got to get at. But I think the problem of the church is that by and large, and we do this in other areas, we talk so much more about what we're against rather than what we're for. Mm-hmm. And we don't do a good job telling the story of why we're for. Because like you said, the weirdo way is to just pie charts and graphs and numbers. Mm-hmm. But Jesus taught in parables for a reason, because he wanted there to be a pebble that stuck in people's shoe and force them to think about things themselves and to get deeper themselves. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to take these numbers. We've got to say, instead of just saying, hey, you know, you're 4 to 8 times more likely to be unfaithful to your significant other if you've cohabitated. Like, well, everybody can say, well, I'm going to be the I'm going to be the non-stat in that situation. But what if we start to tell a different story? What if we start to put it in human terms? What if we start to correlate it to what people know and experience and give those types of examples at a younger age instead of just saying, well, the Bible says so, so there it is.
I think a lot of it, too, is asking the right questions to those people, like the ones that are either considering living together or maybe already are. Because I think a lot of people cohabitate out of fear because they're afraid either of commitment or afraid that the person isn't going to really be who they say they are, or there's just, you know, a million things that you could be afraid of. So maybe even asking questions in regard to that, like, are you afraid of commitment, or why not just get married? You know, like, talking on a deeper level about some of the root issues behind the decision. And a lot of people do it because they've seen their own parents' marriage fail. They've seen divorce in their grandparents or their parents or whatever it is. And so maybe talking about some of those issues behind the issue, I think, is a good place to start for the church.
Yeah, it's interesting. I also want to, just as we close out here, one question I always get when I'm out and about is, well, what about we're not in a romantic relationship? We're just, you know, a bunch of friends and we happen to be just co-ed. We just want to share a house. We just want to be. And everyone thinks that it's going to turn out like Friends and it's going to be super cool. And there's always going to be the fun, quirky people and the, you know, someone's going to have a guitar.
It's going to turn out like Friends and you all are going to start sleeping
with
each other. I was going to say, they all slept with each other pretty much.
Yeah, friends without benefits, maybe they're assuming. I don't know, but wishful thinking. But I always say, you know, there are some things that are illegal, some are immoral, and some are just stupid. And even if you never got into that, if you're like, well, none of us are attracted to each other, one, someone always will be. Something's always going to happen. Like, again, Friends example. Mm-hmm. But two, there's just an intimacy to living in the same space and sitting around in the morning in your pajamas, eating Cheerios or whatever. It's just weird. Okay. And we've talked about that before, Boundless and stuff. And so I just bring that up as a suggestion of something to think about, because there are many other ways to go about this. I mean, there are many other places you could live, you know, make it happen. Flee from temptation. Be a great example to both Christian brothers and sisters and non, a lot of different factors in that. But again, it's great when we get research like this and when we see kind of where it is, get a temperature in the culture, because I think that helps us be able to address it. Hopefully, as Ashley said, sooner rather than later. So we're not like, oh my goodness, you know, here I'm in this relationship. What do I do? Think about it ahead of time. But thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Love it.
All right.